Good afternoon. It's 12:07. This is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter. Very glad to be with you on this Tuesday, May 7th. Because this is Tuesday, it's our financial focus edition of the program. And with me in studio, as usual, it's Susan Burns. Susan, good afternoon. Yeah, yes, I was going to say good morning, but it is actually afternoon.
Afternoon, Sean, and I'm delighted to be here. And we're going to learn some things about how to be a good wary consumer today from Mike Coyle, the current CEO of Better Business Bureau of Northern Indiana. Did I get your title right, Mike?
Yes, you did. Thank you, Susan. John.
That's right. We a couple times a year check in with our friends at the BBB to see what are the latest scams, flim-flams, designed to part you and your money. And we want our listeners to drive the show today. If you've been the target of a fraudster, we hope you'll join us on the line and tell your story. You can remain anonymous if you like. Just tell our phone screener that's the case. Call us at 800-471-9264. Of course, you can always ask a question of Mike as well by emailing us, middaymatters@nipr.fm. You can also post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters.
Yes, indeed. And Mike, we're I know that Better Business Bureau is always about trust in the marketplace, and you just had a big event to celebrate and honor people in that regard, didn't you?
Yes, last week we held our annual Torch Awards. And what the Torch Awards are is we have a luncheon, and it's to bring people together to talk about people that are doing it right. And we spend a lot of time at the Better Business Bureau dealing with unethical organizations, businesses, even consumers. And we kind of perhaps get jaded in thinking that everybody is that way. And we truly believe that most of the consumers and most of the businesses and most of the charities in Northern Indiana are trying to do the right thing. So what we do is we have this program where we recognize businesses, not-for-profits, students. The students have to write an essay. We look at their grades. We look at their outside activities. And then judges outside the BBB determine who's going to win those. And they each win $2,000 scholarships to the school of their choice. And this year's winners were Rebecca Burchett from Mississinewa High School, Sarah K. Clary, Angola High School, and Laura Sigworth from Adams Central High School. And to me, this is the best part of the program that we have. These kids, the things they do, and a lot of times we get down on youth and we say, what's the world coming to? Well, I'm telling you, if you looked at these three kids, you'd be pretty happy about where this world is going, because they are intelligent, they are well-spoken, and I think back on my high school days, and when I look at what these kids do, I go, oh my gosh, what a slacker I was. This is terrible. But they were really, really great. And then we went on to the business portion of it, where, again, we have judges. We go out and we write up a narrative about the company and about how they use ethics, integrity, and trust in their business. So the three, we honored three not-for-profits this year. Headwaters Counseling, the Elkhart Humane Shelter, and the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. Those were the three not-for-profits that we recognized, all of them doing great work. And I'll particularly speak about the Fort Wayne Rescue Mission. Donovan Coley did a great job talking about ethics, integrity, and how important that is in what they do. And then the two businesses that we recognized were ABM, Dan Moucher, who ABM's been in business here, I'm going to make the wrong, it's like 75 years here in Fort Wayne. So a long period of time, and they always have ethics and integrity in front of them. MicroPulse Inc., Brian Emmerich is the CEO of that company. An amazing story. This guy starts this in his garage, and he's making tools for the orthopedic industry and turns this thing into 250 employees and a huge company out off 14. And just a great story, and a great story about how they use ethics and integrity in their business. And then the last award that we gave, we always give a person of integrity. We look around the city and see who do we think that emblemizes Ethics, Integrity, and Trust. And this year's winner was Sue Anger, who is the CEO at the Parkview North Hospital. Sue single-handedly practically designed, you know, got all the stuff done for the new hospital, and over the years has just been a person of integrity and ethics, and we were really pleased to have her as part of the program.
Great, great. Yeah, we had, Sean, we had Sue on as a guest when we were learning about the financial side of the healthcare reform actions.
That's right. A great guest, a great conversation, and a great program. And it sounds like a lot of folks worth recognizing in the community here as well.
Oh, it is. And there's so many of them. And again, we like to take that time to really talk about ethics and talk about trust and not talk about the people who don't do it right, which is a very small portion. I truly believe that. And it's just a great day, and it kind of brings the community together to talk about ethics.
And I noticed as you were listing those winners, you know, we had all the way from the Gas City area up to Elkhart and Angola. What's the reach for the Better Business Bureau?
We cover 23 counties. Goes all the way over to Lake County, all across northern Indiana, all the way over to the Ohio border, and then down as far as Marion, Indiana. In our territory. So it's a big territory, and we have offices in Schererville and an office right outside Osceola, which is between Elkhart and South Bend.
And we're going to get to some of the less ethical, let's call them, activities that the BBC is, or the BBB, I should say, has been looking at. And we wanted to hear your stories today. If you've been the target of a fraudster, if you've seen something that's just not quite right, we hope you'll call us and share your story at 800-471-9264. Email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or you can always send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Before we get into some of the specifics on that, though, Mike, briefly, you mentioned, you know, all these businesses, these folks talking about how they talk about ethics in their business, how they try to act ethically. From the businesses that you and the organization interact with, do you think that conversation is happening enough within organizations? I mean, I think a lot of folks think that it's something that if I have these great ethics, if I have this high moral standard, that those in my industry and in my own business have too.
No, I'm not sure we do talk about it enough. And a lot of people equate customer service. They think that that's interchangeable with ethics and integrity. We kind of separate those. You know, customer service is important, but setting the moral tone for your organization from a management standpoint on down, what is acceptable in this organization? What happens if something does, you know, if you see an infraction, somebody that's doing something that is unethical, what happens in your organization? How can these people, a whistleblower type thing, how do these people bring this out? And again, all of these companies that win these awards, that's what they talk about. Here was our foundation. This is what we told our employees. This is what we told our customers. And we don't go outside of this framework because that's what we built this company on.
Well, and in fact, probably a lot of businesses, maybe smaller businesses run by a few very passionate folks, they may not have that codified either. What do we really stand for, so that others, either from the outside or the inside, when they look into these things, they may not be able to see them and know when a whistle should be blown.
And I think, again, that's what we try to do. Our mission is to create marketplace trust, and that's what we talk about. You know, we send out newsletters, we send out releases to the media, and again, trying to get people to understand that.
We do want to hear from our listeners today. We're going to take just a quick break, and when we come back, we'll be talking about the latest scams and flim-flams and frauds that we're seeing as we head into this spring and summer season. We want to hear your story, 800-471-9264. You can always go to our Facebook page, I should say, Midday Matters, and leave a comment or question there. Or you can email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Stay with us. Conversation continues in just 2 minutes.
What do you do when you're little and you know you can't be like your mother? I adore and am proud of my mother, but what she wants from me is blind adherence to the mystifying virtue of seemly behavior.
On the next Fresh Air, Patricia Volk talks about her new memoir, Shocked, about her relationship with her mother. And we'll hear an excerpt of a recent lecture by Martin Scorsese about film history. Join us.
This afternoon at 1, here on WBOI.
As we continue our series and look ahead, we revisit New Orleans with our old friend and colleague Gwen Tompkins and focus not just on the long recovery from Katrina, but on the city's musical heritage and Jazz Fest. I'm Neil Conan, trombone shorty and native daughter Gwen Tompkins on New Orleans, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Indiana Tech Law School, opening in Fort Wayne, August 2013. Information on admissions and curriculum online at indianatech.edu/law or 855-TECH-LAW.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Lake City Bank, offering a range of financial investment and trust services for individuals, businesses, and nonprofit organizations through the Lake City Bank Wealth Advisory Group. Details at lakecitybank.com.
Minutes past the hour. It's Midday Matters Financial Focus on WBOI Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter along with Susan Burns, and we're talking today about the latest scams, the latest flimflams, the latest frauds designed to part you with your money as we head into this spring and summer season. And Mike Coyle from the Better Business Bureau of Northern Indiana is with us today to chat a bit about that. We want to hear your story this hour. If you have been or think you might have been the target of a fraudster, we would really like to hear from you and hear your story. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet with your question or comment. That's at Midday Matters. And if you'd like to remain anonymous, because we know these issues can be sensitive sometimes, we'll certainly allow for that today. Just let our phone screener know. Mike, thanks again for joining us for this program. And let's jump in. We talked about the ethical folks in our community, the people who are doing right by the community. Let's talk a little bit about the less than ethical folks and things we're seeing pop up here in this warmer season, because a lot of folks are wanting to get out and work on their homes, spruce things up for the summertime. It's the season for home improvement scams. Tell us a little bit about this, because this is kind of a cyclical scam, really.
Yeah, throughout the year we have things that pop up. Sure. And this is the time of year where people want to do home improvement. They want to redo their driveways, their sidewalks, whatever it is, landscaping, those kinds of things. And the first thing we want to talk about is that this time of year, we see a lot of movement from companies out of this area. The Irish Travelers always used to come into this area, and don't know whether they're here this year or not, but they came out of Texas, Tennessee, and what they are is just people who come into this area and who will come to your home and knock on your door and perhaps tell you that your chimney is leaning and really needs to be fixed, and here's an estimate to get this fixed. They look at your driveway and they say, listen, we've got some extra asphalt from another job we were doing. We'll do your driveway for some ridiculous amount of money. Hmm. And again, what they'll do one of two things is they will ask you for a deposit and tell you that they'll be right back to finish the job and never show up again. Or what they'll do is they'll come in and they'll put some kind of treatment on your driveway, asphalt or something, that the next year weeds will be growing through it. It's just very inferior products, or they'll be trying to sell you things that you do not need. And in this case, we always talk about this. We always talk about checking out who you're doing business with. And all these things we're going to talk about today is always going to go back to know who you're doing business with. If you have a problem, where are you going to go to get that problem taken care of? In this case, do they have out-of-state plates on their trucks? That's a big red stop sign if you see that.
But before you go any further, that seems like a kind of an extra difficult thing to deal with. I mean, we're right next to, here in Indiana, in Fort Wayne, we're right next to the Ohio line. It seems like you'd have to be extra cautious or have a little extra care, because I'm sure there are folks from out of state who are doing legitimate business as well.
Yeah, I think there could be people here from Ohio who could be doing business in this area. But again, what you ask them is, I want the name of your company, address, phone number, and then you're going to start your checking. You go onto the BBB website. You type in the name of that company. It will pop up. Make sure you have the address in the city, state. And if it doesn't pop up, again, that's another red flag. If there's not a BBB file, it doesn't mean that this company are crooks. But what it means is nobody has any information on. You can also Google them. You know, Google them and find out, you know, what comes up and what are you going to find out about that company. And what you want to know by going to the BBB is, are they licensed? How long have they been in business? Who is the principal of it? Have they had government action against them? Have they had complaints with the Better Business Bureau? And if they have had complaints, how have they dealt with them? You know, have they taken care of those? And then there will be a grade on there, A+ to F. And if you're looking for a trustworthy company and they have a D-, I'm not sure I would move on to the next company and tell them you would prefer to deal with someone else. So again, checking things out. We saw this company from West Virginia. It's a paving company, Riley Paving. And again, there's a couple of pavers in this area that have Riley in their name, so do not mistake them. But this company comes along and does the thing where, I've got extra asphalt, I'm going to pave here, and there's troubles. It's going through the BBB system. So any of this, and my suggestion to you always is, do business with somebody local. Number one, let's keep the money here in this community. But secondly, if you have a problem, you've got a place to go afterwards to get that problem taken care of. So check them out. Make sure that the company is who they say they are. And then do some research on them and try to do business locally.
Especially when somebody's knocking on your door. I mean, that's an awfully an odd situation. That doesn't usually happen. It's okay to be patient.
Yeah, door to door anymore, what you get is these kind of people. You get magazine sales that are very, very iffy. You've got a lot of security companies that come in this time of year who go door to door and say, listen, I notice you're doing business with somebody. We can do this cheaper for you or whatever. Some of them legit, some of them not legit. And that's what we want to make sure, that you're doing business with the legitimate people. And we want to make sure you don't do business with people who are not so ethical.
We want to hear your stories today. If you think you've been targeted by a fraudster, if you've maybe experienced some of the situations we're talking about on today's program, we want to hear your story. Call us at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send your questions and comments via Twitter. We're at Midday Matters. And before we go any further as well here, we should stress that just because, you know, if say somebody checks out the BBB website, they see a company, there's been a complaint, do check to see how that complaint has been followed up upon. It may have been an honest mistake. It may have been may have been a misunderstanding. It all depends more on the overall grade.
Yeah, the fact that somebody has a complaint, if you're in business long enough, somebody's going to complain about you. You can still have an A-plus and have complaints. And again, but it's how did you deal with those complaints? And that's what, did you respond? Did you resolve it? And were things taken care of? So you're right. When you see a complaint, that, you know, don't take that as a negative. Most companies are going to have a complaint sooner or later.
Susan Burns, we were talking a little bit before the show got going today about some of the areas we were going to cover.
Yeah.
And every time we have these shows, the idea of charities comes up again and again.
Yeah, yeah. And it's something that seems to be kind of connected to news events like, you know, the recent unfortunate events in Boston we heard this morning on the news about the one fund being distributed. Mm-hmm. So Mike, what are some things people who have that giving spirit ought to keep an eye out for, especially, and we were also talking about closet cleaning. So I'll toss it over to you, Mike, about what should we watch out for in terms of our generosity?
Yeah, I think charities is something that we work a lot on at the Better Business Bureau. We have 20 charitable standards that we ask charities in this area to give us information, and then we make sure that they meet those standards. Again, they're graded A-plus to F, just like the businesses are. And we want people to give. There's lots and lots of very good charities, not only in this area, but outside of this area. We get people coming into this area, soliciting in this area, that are not trustworthy. They don't deserve your money. And that's what we're trying to tell people, is before you write that check or before you give them that credit card number, to give your money to an organization, again, let's check them out. Let's get their name, address, phone number, get all the other information, and then let's go somewhere, Charity Navigator, the Better Business Bureau, go in and look at what are they doing. And the big part of what are they doing is you give them that dollar, how much of that dollar goes to their mission, to the purpose intended. The standard is 65% of it should go. There's lots of charities in this area that are well, well above the 65%. And just as an example, we've been doing some work and looking at these collection bins, these clothing bins that seem to be popping up all over the city. And when you put your clothes in that bin, who is it going to, and how much of that money is going to the purpose intended? And just to give you an example, there's three people that we looked at. There were actually more than that, but we'll talk about three of them. One is an outfit that's called USA Again out of Chicago, Illinois. They are a for-profit company who is doing this. They're out of Chicago. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We've got no beef with this company other than it's a for-profit company. Are there better alternatives? The second one is Gaia International Movement, again, out of Chicago. The last report that was done on them, 2%, 2 cents on every dollar that you gave them went to the mission, to the purpose intended. So
98%.
98% goes to administrative, fundraising, whatever that might be. Again, that's something, they are a 501c3. They have the IRS designation. But again, 2 cents on the dollar. Okay, let's take a look at Goodwill. Goodwill has clothes collection bins all over the city and in a lot of counties around in our area. 79 cents out of every dollar goes to the purpose intended, and that's to help people with disabilities get jobs. They employ people right here in this area, and that money is going locally right here in this area. So again, I hope that your listeners will, before you just dump it in a box, that you'll think about where that money is going and make a choice for give it to somebody that's going to invest it in this community and that's going to use most of it for the purpose intended.
And invest seems like a really good word when you're thinking about being generous, when you're thinking about giving to a charity, whether it's a national charity, a local charity, or maybe something like the Boston Fund that we mentioned. You're looking for a good return on your investment, even if it's, you know, not a monetary return. You're looking for that money to do something real. So it's okay to be a bit skeptical before you give.
Absolutely. And I mean, they are investing, just using Goodwill as our example here, they are investing in people in Fort Wayne, Indiana. They employ them. And then they are also investing in disabled people to try to train them so they can get employment. So investment is a good word, because they are investing in this community.
We want to hear your stories today. Do you think you've been targeted by a fraudster? Give us a call and let us know at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Mike will be with us for just a few more minutes here. I know you've got a busy day ahead, Mike, but we want to move on a little bit here. We've talked about home improvement. We've talked about charities and being careful there. But there is the now persistent threat of moving and timeshare fraud here as well. We've heard stories of folks posting homes for sale, or let's say on Craigslist, buying the home, going to the door, and realizing that, that home wasn't for sale at all. Tell us a little bit more about what folks need to be looking out for and how costly these schemes can be.
Yeah, this is another seasonal. May is the moving month. And it starts off, most of the people that are going to move, generally because of children in school or whatever, move during the summer months. So starting in May, June, July, and August is a big time for people that are moving. And we get a lot of complaints on moving companies. And again, that's not a problem in and of itself, because when they're moving your stuff, there's a lot of things that can go wrong. There's a lot of things that can be broken. And the fact that they would have a complaint, how did they deal with it? But what we see is moving companies that give very low bids, trying to undercut, and then the quality of that service, very poor. The quality of a response, if you do have a claim or you have a problem, is very poor. So again, we'll go back to, we need to check these companies out. If you have a company that's giving you a bid on your moving services, again, name, address, phone number, let's go in, let's check them out. How many complaints have they had? Have they had government action? You've got Serva right here in Fort Wayne, who has a very good record with the two moving companies that they have. So we want to talk to people right now, because it's happening. Complaints are starting to come in already on moving companies. And you want to make sure that you research, you get some written estimates, and that you compare apples to apples. What exactly are they doing? What is the timing? How long is it going to take them to get from Fort Wayne to Austin, Texas, or whatever it is? Make sure you have all the details, and make sure you're dealing with somebody that takes care of their complaints.
Is price, especially in service-oriented fraud and service-oriented scams, is price the biggest red flag typically when Better Business Bureau gets complaints? You know, this was a ridiculously low price. I just had to take it, and off they go with my money.
Yeah, price is always an issue for everybody. Everybody wants to do it at the lowest price and get, the best bang out of their buck. But the problem is if you're moving and you get two bids that say it's going to be $5,000 and you get another one that says $1,500, you better start doing some more homework. Mm-hmm. Let's put those contracts right next to each other and find out exactly what it is, because as we all know, they've got labor to come and move you. It costs them gas. It costs them for the trucks. There can't be that big a difference between what one company will do it for and what another company will do it for. So again, another red flag. If you get somebody that's offering you an extremely low price, you better do some more checking.
We have just a few minutes here before we have to let you go, Mike. What else is the Better Business Bureau seeing in terms of complaints so far this year? What's prevalent right now?
A couple of things that are really hot right now, and again, it's just kind of a seasonal thing. Timeshares. Don't know how many people get calls, but I seem like I'm getting calls all the time wanting to know if I want a timeshare in Florida or Arizona, or we've got deals on them right now. There's so much product out there that we can help you out. again, this industry is fraught with problems. And unfortunately, the good operators get painted with the brush too. But again, you've got to check these people out. We just had a group up in St. Joe County that opened up about a year ago selling timeshares. They came up on our radar screen. We started having complaints. We started calling them. We've got a big investor behind us, and we know all about the industry. And again, complaints kept coming in. About a month later, they closed the door. And we think they're headed to Florida, so we alerted the Florida Better Business Bureaus. Again, all they were doing is selling these timeshares, nothing to back it up, and people, without checking, without doing any homework, were buying these things and now are out of that money. So again, timeshares are a big deal right now, and there's lots of them out there, and there's lots of good ones. You can get into these things, and it's nice if you do a lot of traveling, but you've got to understand all of the details that are that go into. What dates can you have? You know, can you transfer this to someone else? What if I want to get out of this? What happens? Lots of details. Check the company. Do they have complaints? Do they have problems? We need to know all that stuff.
And if you happen to know somebody who's worked with these companies before, certainly experience and word of mouth will go a long way there too.
Absolutely.
Well, Mike Coyle, we have to say so long for now, but we appreciate you being with us again on Midday Matters. It's been great.
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoy it.
Mike Coyle is President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Northern Indiana. We thank you again for being with us. Coming up after our news break here, Chris Naylor will join us. He's the Indiana Securities Commissioner. In the meantime, we hope you'll get in touch with us. Call us with your questions or comments, 800-471-9264. Or email middaymatters@nipr.fm. Of course, you can always get in touch with us via social media as well, on Facebook and on Twitter. Stay with us. Midday Matters is right back.
What do you do when you're little and you know you can't be like your mother? I adore and am proud of my mother, but what she wants from me is blind adherence to the mystifying virtue of seemly behavior.
On the next Fresh Air, Patricia Volk talks about her new memoir, Shocked, about her relationship with her mother. And we'll hear an excerpt of a recent lecture by Martin Scorsese about film history. Join us
this afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio. I'm Sarah D'Elia with WBOI News. A judge has sentenced a northeastern Indiana woman to 38 years in prison after she pleaded guilty to aiding an attempted murder after her boyfriend shot a deputy town marshal. DeKalb Superior Court Judge Monty Brown sentenced 34-year-old Julie King to 45 years in prison with 7 years suspended Monday. That's the maximum sentence allowed under terms of her plea agreement. King apologized in court, saying she thanks God every day that Waterloo Deputy Marshal Steve Brady did not die in the December 2011 shooting by her boyfriend, 41-year-old Ralph Hardick of Auburn. Police fatally shot Hardick hours after the shooting when he pointed a gun at them. Brady, shot just below his left eye socket, underwent surgery to repair his jaw and mouth. He returned to work last November. A suspended Indianapolis police officer facing reckless homicide and other charges for a 2010 crash that killed a motorcyclist and injured two others has been moved to a jail in Fort Wayne. Officer David Bassard was moved Monday to the Allen County Jail from the Marion County Jail in Indianapolis. He's due to go before an Allen County judge Thursday for a hearing following a recent drunken driving arrest in Indianapolis. The 2010 case was moved to Allen County because of pretrial publicity in the case in central Indiana. Bassard's currently scheduled to go to trial in October for the 2010 crash in which he drove his patrol car into two motorcycles stopped at a light, killing one man and seriously injuring two other people. U.S. Senator Joe Donnelly says he does not support the use of American troops on the ground in Syria. The Democrat traveled to Turkey last week with other members of Congress and visited with refugees at a border camp. He says he spoke with opposition leaders as well.
They said, look, we don't want American men and women on the ground. And I said, well, that's a good thing because there won't be American men and women on the ground. I don't support that at all. They said, all we want are the tools to create success here. And the other thing they said repeatedly in group after group is that they are the moderates.
Donnelly says a no-fly zone over Syria, establishing an international safety zone for refugees and opposition members, and providing limited weapons to opposition fighters are all ideas being discussed. And a Northern Indiana high school's nickname isn't likely to change anytime soon, despite efforts around the country to bar its use. Goshen High School has used the Redskins nickname for 9 decades. City Council President Jim McKee says the name is meant to represent warriors and strength and, quote, should be taken as a compliment. Many schools around the country have dropped the nickname because it's seen as derogatory towards Native Americans. The Michigan Department of Civil Rights has filed a complaint against 35 schools asking the U.S. Department of Education and the Office of Civil Rights to bar the use of Native American mascots. A member of the Goshen Community Relations Commission says the panel has not taken up the issue, but probably will one day. You're listening to 89.1 FM, WBOI Fort Wayne, and now back to Midday Matters.
It's 20 minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. This is Midday Matters Financial Focus on WBOI. I'm Sean Beter. Very happy to be with you on this edition of the program. Big thanks to Mike Coyle from the Better Business Bureau for being with us for the first portion of the program. Now we're going to switch gears, Susan Burns, but not too much.
No, we'll still be sort of on the same topic, and Mike sure had a lot of information to cram into that section, but we're going to offer you, take it a little deeper now. We have a guest with us on the line, I hope. Chris Naylor, are you there?
Hi, Susan. Sean, it's great to be with you this afternoon.
Hi. And Chris is Indiana's Securities Commissioner. Have I got your title right?
That's correct.
Great. And tell us a little about what it means to be Indiana's Securities Commissioner.
Sure. Well, I head up the Indiana Securities Division, and that's a team within Secretary of State Connie Lawson's office. It's our mission to protect Indiana investors and to ensure the efficient flow of capital in the state of Indiana. We carry out that mission in three basic ways. Number one, we do the licensing of financial service professionals, the investment advisors and broker-dealers. Number two, we do a lot of investor education outreach programming across the state with presentations and with a lot of different partnerships. And finally, we investigate complaints of fraud, and then we can either file those complaints internally through an administrative action process, or if it's an egregious violation, we work with prosecutors all across the state of Indiana to pursue successful prosecutions of investment fraud.
Great. And Mike suggested you as a guest who would be a good matchup on this topic today of scams, flim-flams, and investment fraud, because we had a recent case where your office got involved, as I understand it.
Yeah, that's correct. And that involved a gentleman by the name of Bradley Collins. But first off, I want to congratulate Prosecutor Karen Richards on the conviction in this case. Our office, the Securities Division, has had a longstanding partnership with Prosecutor Richards and her team there in Allen County to bring these cases to the forefront. And it's strong commitment on her part and in that office part to hold these bad actors accountable. But with respect to Mr. Collins, he was a Fort Wayne resident and had been a longtime insurance agent and had a number of insurance clients. But unfortunately, he kind of shifted gears and started selling unregistered promissory notes to many of his clients. And there's a whole range of problems with that investment opportunity that he presented to his longtime clients.
Before we go any further, can you break that down a little bit for us? Promissory notes, what do you mean when you say promissory notes?
Sure. Promissory notes can be a legitimate investment opportunity. Typically, small businesses or startups can use promissory notes to raise capital, And the promissory notes come with a percentage rate return over a period of time. What is important to note is that these promissory notes sold in Indiana have to be registered with the Secretary of State's office, and they're reviewed by our team before they can be sold.
And so looking, turning back then to this case, I mean, there was, he wasn't just doing this on a small scale. I mean, this was a lot of money involved with the folks that he was selling these fraudulent notes to.
Yeah, it is a very large scale. And in fact, in the courtroom there in Allen County recently, the judge ordered Mr. Collins to pay over $2 million of restitution back to a number of Indiana victims. And, you know, there were a couple of major problems with Mr. Collins' scheme. Number one, in Indiana, you have to be licensed to sell securities. And if your listeners come away from this discussion with anything, I hope that they know to contact our office to check out whether someone is licensed to sell securities. And they can do that at our 800 number, 1-800-223-8791, and also on our website through IndianaInvestmentWatch.com. Although Mr. Collins was licensed to sell insurance, he was not licensed to sell securities. The other problem being those promissory notes he was selling were not registered. And another big tip-off, kind of a red flag of fraud with respect to what Mr. Collins was selling, was enormous promises of returns. They sold promissory notes with promised returns of 3% per month, which works out obviously to 36% returns over the course of 1 year. And because this was also a Ponzi scheme, Mr. Collins was giving some returns early on, and that's how people got hooked. They got those returns as many Ponzi schemes, and then without, you know, doing their homework and checking our office to check the licensing status, they gave Mr. Collins more money. And a real damaging aspect of this case is that Collins used affinity fraud, and that he, presented himself as a man of faith and as a preacher, and he used this affinity fraud, which, you know, affinity fraud, you know, people of similar interests or backgrounds or groups, there's that trust that's built. And a big catchphrase was, you know, we're going to go after Christians who we prefer to deal with God-fearing, church-going people. And so that was another very ugly aspect of this case.
I want to talk a little more about that in just a moment here. But can we put those returns in context, I guess, with what a normal return on investment is? And certainly it can be wide-ranging, but I mean, typically you're not looking at double-digit returns on most safe securities anyway.
Yeah, that's correct, Sean. And you know, we always tell people to watch out for a promise of no risk or little risk and high rewards. First of all, any investment comes with risk. But the higher rewards that are being discussed, your risk level goes through the roof. So that's, you know, something to keep in mind. There's a direct relationship between the expected returns and the risk involved. But if you're hearing anyone talk about promises to double your money in 30 days or double your money in 60 days or 90 days, that should raise a major red flag. Those are not realistic returns in this environment. And, you know, we do understand that the human nature of trying that appeal of high yields in this environment. You know, there are many people in their 60s and 70s who are concerned about, running out of money before they run out of life. And, you know, given some of the market conditions in recent years, that those promises, as you mentioned, Sean, that, oh, we can get you double-digit returns, those should be immediate red flags.
We do need to take a quick break here. Indiana Securities Commissioner Chris Naylor is with us. We hope you'll stick around, Chris, for the last few minutes of our program. And in the meantime, we hope our listeners get involved in the conversation here as well. If you have a question or comment for Chris Naylor, we hope you'll get in touch at 800-471-9264. Send us an email, middaymatters@nipr.fm. Post on our Facebook wall or send us a tweet at Midday Matters. Stay with us, back in 2 minutes.
What do you do when you're little and you know you can't be like your mother? I adore and am proud of my mother, but what she wants from me is blind adherence to the mystifying virtue of seemly behavior.
On the next Fresh Air, Patricia Volk talks about her new memoir, Shocked, about her relationship with her mother. And we'll hear an excerpt of a recent lecture by Martin Scorsese about film history. Join us.
This afternoon at 1 here on WBOI.
Most U.S. students say they don't learn much about climate change in class. For now, the lessons come from a nonprofit group in school auditoriums.
Can you believe that the average American teenager uses about 21 football fields of the Earth's resources to live?
Filling the education gap on climate change, later on All Things Considered, from NPR News.
This afternoon at 4, here on WBOI.
Support for this program on WBOI is provided by Reinbold and Anderson, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC, local financial advisors who help people just like you. More information on Reinbold and Anderson on the web at reinboldandanderson.com.
Six minutes before the top of the hour, 1 o'clock, this is Midday Matters on WBOY Fort Wayne. I'm Sean Beter, along with Susan Burns, and we've been talking throughout this program about frauds and flimflams and scams and how you can avoid them. And we do want to hear from you just in the last few moments of the program. If you have a question or comment, we're talking with Chris Naylor, the Indiana Securities Commissioner. Give us a call at 800-471-9264. You can always email middaymatters@nipr.fm, post on our Facebook wall, or send us a tweet. Chris Naylor, we were talking in the first portion of this half of the program about the Bradley Collins case, but this is not an isolated incident. This is not something that's a once-in-a-lifetime case in the state of Indiana. Your office handles a lot of complaints like this and files a number of complaints like this with the Attorney General's office.
Yes, Sean, we have been all over the state, and, you know, it's our team. Our team does not have the ability to file criminal cases directly under Indiana law, but under the law, we refer our cases to the prosecutors in the counties where the offenses occur. So our team here at the Secretary of State's office, we compile a very detailed investigative report, and then we sit down with the prosecutors out in the state, and we offer our expertise to either to act in a supportive role or to even deputize our attorneys. And we've had a number of cases there now in the county, and I think by last count we've been in 36 of Indiana's 92 counties with serious felony investment fraud cases.
Is there a particular pattern to those cases? We mentioned earlier the affinity fraud that was mentioned in the Bradley Collins case. Do a lot of these investigations, a lot of these cases follow that pattern? Somebody gets familiar with folks in church or in a community organization. They gain their trust and sell them fraudulent securities, let's say.
Yeah, you know, trust is, we see that in many of our cases, the promoter has somehow established trust either through being a client for other services or through the affinity fraud or, you know, through flat out lies in propping up their this investment opportunity. And, you know, going back to the Collins case a little bit, Collins was using a pitch based around green energy, and in this case with ethanol. And a lot of times promoters will take news headlines that with a grain of truth, hey, yeah, that could make sense. We do need alternative forms of energy, and then develop that into a pitch. And the dangerous thing about it is that when promoters recommend that investors completely cash out their current holdings to fund this sort of investment, that can be a recipe for disaster. You know, other cases that we've seen following the news headlines center around gold and, you know, currency. The dollar may be going down, so you hear a lot of discussion about gold. And so pitches can be made around the headlines. But people need to remember that they need to come back and they check that licensing status of the person selling the security. You know, ask the question, what government agency regulates your activity? And, you know, ask another question. Are you required to always act in my best interest? It can, you know, working with money, it is important, I believe, to work with financial professionals. But I think oftentimes investors make it based, the decisions based more on a quick emotion, and the promoters prey on that. They say, you know, this is such a great opportunity, you need to get in today. You can't let this opportunity pass. So that's some of the dynamics of the cases that we've been seeing.
Well, and certainly, you know, it is usually a good idea to work with professionals. But with all of the resources available at individual investors' fingertips, I mean, I think this underscores, you know, that folks can do a little bit of research, a little bit of, you know, looking into what you know, what a potential advisor is asking them to invest in on their own.
Right. And, you know, sometimes, you know, either I go to the doctor or my family, you know, sees their medical professional, and sometimes you want to get a second or third opinion. There's nothing wrong in doing the same with your investment advice. And in fact, you might ask someone who's trying to sell a security, hey, would you come with me and sit down and explain this to me and my accountant? Or can you sit down and explain this to me and my attorney? So those are some steps that people can take. And as I indicated, investment advisors, broker-dealers are required to have a license number, and by checking with our office, you know, we can look into employment history, any disciplinary action. So there's a lot of work that can be done for investors to help educate themselves throughout the process.
We are reaching the end of the program here, but Chris Naylor, we appreciate you being with us. Very briefly, how can folks get in touch with your office if they are concerned about something they've seen recently?
Yeah, Sean, they can either call or they can click. The 800 number is 1-800-223-8791, and the website here at Secretary of State's office, IndianaInvestmentWatch.com.
Chris Naylor is Indiana Securities Commissioner. Thanks very much, Chris, for being with us. It's been a pleasure.
John, Susan, thanks for what you're doing there in the Fort Wayne community.
Thank you so much. Thanks very much to Mike Coyle as well and Susan Burns. I'm Sean Beter,
and this
is Northeast Indiana Public Radio WBOY Fort Wayne. Fresh air is next. It's 1 o'clock.